Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We know the huge game in college football this weekend is Alabama hosting Georgia. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a two-time national champion for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Also played in the NFL with the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills. And that, of course, is Damian Harris, who is now an analyst for CBS Sports HQ and HQ's new Saturday morning college football show, which is CBS Sports HQ's college football pregame show, and it starts every Saturday at 9 a.m., and fans can watch on the CBS Sports app across their connected devices as well on Samsung TV Plus and Roku. And Damian Harris, with the very nice hat, joins us right now on the Zach
Appreciate
Gelb
it. I figured Coach Saban would approve of the straw hat next to the logo for Bama Georgia week. So listen, I'm in the spirits. This is a big weekend, so I'm already juiced up and ready to go.
Yeah, I was gonna say when I saw you as we were ready to introduce you, I'm like, oh, did you go to Saban's house and get that out of the storage box or something like that?
Well, listen, I learned a lot from Coach Saban, and hat game is one of them. So I've had this in my rotation for a little while. Shout out to him, because like I said, he paved the way in a lot more ways than just on the football field. So taking a page out of his book.
What was it like to get recruited by the legendary Nick Saban?
It was unbelievable. I mean, I remember I had an at-home visit with him at my house, and the whole time he was talking, I just sat and thought to myself, oh my God, Nick Saban is in my living room in literally small town Richmond, Kentucky, middle of nowhere. I mean, somewhere where not a lot of people had come from and, you know, made it to the next level, whether it be sports or, you know, really anything. You know, it's a small town and people don't get out much, and there's not a whole lot to be super excited about at times. But to have Coach Saban in my living room, to have him come visit me at my high school, man, it was such a surreal moment. It was something that you see on movies when you see these big time coaches go and visit these kids at their high schools, and like all the students are like saying like, oh my God, Nick Saban's in the office. Like, oh my God. Like, I actually was fortunate enough to live that. So it was an incredible experience. You know, we all know Coach Saban was a larger than life figure. So any opportunity I had, you know, to spend time with him, to see him, obviously to be recruited by him, I was just in awe that, you know, I was in such a position to have somebody like that want me to come play for their program and want me bad enough to come visit me in my own living room. So it was quite a treat.
Yeah, we have an image of Nick Saban, mm-hmm. right? And then I've seen mm-hmm. videos of him on his recruiting visits mm-hmm. and everywhere
it's
breaks that
huh?
image. Like, did he dance with your family? That's one of my favorite videos when he's dancing with everyone's family.
Right.
I wouldn't expect that from Coach.
You know, to be honest, just as much of a shock as I was in, so was my mom, and so were the people that were there. So we literally were just like sunken into our couch, and we made sure we had some oatmeal cream pies for him, and you know, made sure that he was gonna be nice and full so he wouldn't get in a bad mood. But other than that, man, we just sat there and just literally reflected. I couldn't tell you a single thing he said from that meeting. I'm sure if I called my mom and asked her right now, she'd have no idea either. But you know, we were in such awe that the Nick Saban was sitting in our living room asking me to come be a part of his program. So there was no cha-cha slide. There was no Cupid shuffle, but You know, he just it was like a giant walking into our house. So we were just very just in awe, and just as one of Coach Saban's favorite lines, we were just glad to be there.
Yeah, right. Damian Harris here with us from CBS Sports HQ, the former Alabama Crimson Tide running back, also played in the NFL with the Patriots and the Bills. So Kalen DeBoer, the new head honcho at Alabama, mm-hmm. replacing Nick Saban. What have been your early impressions of Coach DeBoer?
That the standard hasn't changed. This is still the University of Alabama where champions are made. And that's the goal for this team. There is no, oh, well, let's take a year to fill ourselves out, how we're going to be after Nick Saban. No, Kalen DeBoer has come in and he's led this team. And they've done a lot better than what in my opinion, was to be expected. I know people look at the USF game and think, oh, well, they were looking a little sluggish until they broke through in the fourth quarter. That comes with having a new head coach. That comes with getting new players in the transfer portal. That happens when you got guys that leave and go other places for the transfer portal. So I think that he's just done a phenomenal job of keeping the guys that are in the locker room focused on the task at hand, which is winning football games every single weekend. They're undefeated, and that's the goal. You got to go 1-0 every single week. Week one, they couldn't worry about Georgia. Week two, they couldn't worry about Georgia. They had to worry about Wisconsin and USF and the teams that they played before. And I think that Kalen DeBoer is doing a great job of that. I think that he has made Jalen Milroe leaps and bounds better than what he has been before. Leaps and bounds. And when you've got a guy that is that dynamic, that's that talented, that has game-breaking ability like Jalen Milroe has, and then you put him with an offensive mind like Kalen DeBoer, I mean, the magic is happening right before our eyes. Jalen Milroe, 2 touchdowns in the air, two touchdowns on the ground. I mean, that's almost a given right now. And that's because Kalen DeBoer is putting him in situations to be a successful quarterback, much like he did for Michael Penix. It's all about how can DeBoer scheme up for who his players are and for what his team needs. And he's got a team full of playmakers. So he's letting Jalen Milroe, he's giving him the reins and letting him run this offense. And I think that the confidence that he's showing in Jalen Milroe is evident in how he's playing. He's standing in the pocket. He's throwing the ball a lot more. He's a lot better whenever they have designed runs. He carries the ball much better. He's got much better ball security than he's had in the past. So when you've got such a dynamic guy like that at quarterback, at the leader of your team, you give him the reins. You put him in possession to do what God blessed him to do. And for those, you know, those two specific reasons, that's why I love to see what Kalen DeBoer is doing. I've talked to a lot of guys that I played with, some guys that coached me at Alabama, and everybody has just been super, super thrilled to see that, you know, the legacy that we worked so hard to build and the standard that we set year in and year out, it hasn't dipped. It hasn't faded. They're doing things a little bit differently now. The head coaching office might look a little bit different, but at the end of the day, like I said at the beginning, this is still the University of Alabama where champions are made. And we're going to see that on display against Georgia. This is going to be their first real test of, is this the same Bama standard? Is this the Bama way that we've all known and loved? Yes, it's different with Kalen DeBoer at the helm, but are the values, the principles, the foundation of the organization still the same? There's not a better test for Alabama than against Alabama B, which is what Kirby Smart has created in Georgia.
It's a great point that you bring up, because I think a lot of people go into this game where they say, okay, this is a moment for Kalen DeBoer and Jalen Milroe to prove themselves mm-hmm. that Alabama isn't going anywhere. But also mm-hmm. on the Georgia side, hey, this was the school last year, I know the coaches changed, that knocked you mm-hmm. out from getting back mm-hmm. into the college football playoff. And also Georgia's mm-hmm. coming off a game where they only beat Kentucky by 1 point. So there's a lot on the line for both teams early on in this one.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. Who has beaten Georgia in the past 2 years? It's only been one school.
Yeah.
It's only been one team. It's the University of Alabama, and they know that, and Kirby knows it. Kirby knows that this is personal for him, it's personal for his players, it's personal for his team, because again, Kirby is a guy with the Alabama pedigree. What he brought to Alabama's program, he took that and he implemented that in Georgia, and he made sure that everybody on his staff, all of his he's trying to make sure all of his players are following that. If they wouldn't stop doing ridiculous things behind the wheel of vehicles, which is not funny at all.
Sure.
It's very serious. They need to clean that stuff up. But Kirby is trying to take what he did at Alabama and what he provided that made the culture what it was and bring that to Georgia. He's done that. And so now when you look at Georgia, they look very similar, very reminiscent to the Alabama teams that I played for. They're nasty on defense. They got a great front seven. They're great on the offensive line. They got a great quarterback. They've got great skill players. They can run the ball. I mean, Georgia clearly brings in the best talent every year, But they're still the little brother to Alabama. Don't get me wrong. They're still the little brother, and Kirby knows that. So it's personal. This is going to be personal for both teams. A lot of people have a lot to prove, just like Jalen Milroe has to prove that he's still going to continue on this upward trajectory. Well, Carson Beck, who I'm pretty sure came into this season as the Heisman favorite, or at least one of the favorites, he's not looking like that Heisman favorite right now. So he's got something to prove. ETN, you know, I look at him as a guy who missed some time early in the year because of disciplinary actions. That's another guy. There's something to prove. So this is a big game for a lot of reasons. This is a clash of two titans in college football. But at the same time, these are two teams that are the best teams with the best players, with the best coaches, who both have something to prove. And that's when you get your best games. When guys are going out there, it's two fighters walking into a boxing ring. Two men walk in, only one's going to walk out. Because it's personal and because there's something on the line. And that's what everybody's going to see Saturday night at Bryant-Denny, 6:30. Get your popcorn ready.
I got to follow up on one thing you said, because with Saban no longer being there and Georgia winning two out of the last three national championships, I think a lot of people believe that Georgia's moved past Alabama. You still said Georgia's little brother. Explain that a little bit.
What did you just say? Two out of the past 3 years. I mean, granted, this is a business of what have you done for me now? So I definitely understand that. Production-based business, what is your most recent success? I get that. But let's not forget that the reason why Georgia is what it is because of Alabama, because Kirby Smart was at Alabama, because Nick Saban paved the way for somebody like Kirby Smart to come in and bring what he has to the table, and then take that mixed with what he learned from Nick Saban, what he learned from coaching guys like Minka Fitzpatrick, Reuben Foster, the guys that chose Alabama, and then he took that to Georgia. Now, of course, hats off to Kirby. Much respect. They have won the national championship two of the last 3 years. They have built a very, very successful, dominant program, but they are not Alabama. They are not Alabama. It's plain and simple. They just are not Alabama. They do not have the pedigree that we have. They do not have the consistent level of success. People think all the time, okay, well, Alabama hasn't won a national championship in a few years. Well, those people are the same ones that watched us win six national championships in a time frame of what, maybe 11, 12 years. So that's what they expect. And obviously, what I expect is for Alabama to win the national championship. So, yes, if they win 9 or 10 games, don't win a national championship, don't make it to the national championship game, don't make it to the playoffs. Yeah, that does look like a bust, but that's more successful than 99% of the teams in college football. So let's look at this from a totality perspective.
Gotcha.
Alabama's consistently 9-10 wins, six national championships, 12 years, two national championships in 3 years. I mean, Georgia's making some progress, but again, they're not Alabama. Let's not forget. The people who sit at home and think that Georgia has passed Alabama and is now top dog, those are the people who have been waiting to see Alabama fall for a long, long time. Those are Georgia fans. Those are Auburn fans. Those are Ohio State fans. Those are the fans of schools who can't get it done year in and year out. For them, they'll have a national championship year. Then they'll go 6-4. Oh, and then they'll make it to the playoffs. And then, oh, next year they go 7-3. And then, oh, they win a national championship here. And then, like, no, Alabama has been national championship, runners up, national championship, runners up, national championship, bowl game, nine win season. Like, let's not go crazy here. Alabama's top dog.
Damian Harris here with us. I have to ask you about another one of your former coaches, Bill Belichick. You think he's coming on back? I think he's back on the sidelines next year.
I do too, and I think that's why he's half-stepping his new gig in the media. Because, listen, Bill Belichick's got a lot more in the tank to give when it comes to talking football than he's showing on Monday Night Football on the Pat McAfee show. Like, he's got a little bit more in the tank. I think he's half-stepping into it because he expects to be on the sideline again soon. And, you know, if I'm looking at it from a holistic standpoint, I would be remiss if I didn't think that he would end up back on a sideline, because at the end of the day, look at what he's done. Look at his pedigree. Look at his resume. I mean, if I was a GM or if I was an owner of a team and Bill Belichick's name popped up, I mean, there's not many people that I would hire before him. So I know that he was looking for some jobs in this offseason. It didn't really shake out. I'm not really sure why, but don't expect that to last. Bill wants to coach, and somebody's going to want him to coach.
I know you got hurt last year, but you were in Buffalo, so you were around DeMar Hamlin. To see what has happened with DeMar and him had that interception the other night, just give me a thought or two on that.
Man, You know, that's what sports is all about, bringing people together, for better or for worse, to celebrate the lives of these young men who literally lay their life on the line to play a sport to entertain these people. Again, that is what this great sport is about. The stories, the triumphs, the underdogs, the people who have a small chance to make it, but then they knock their opportunity out of the park. Well, ladies and gentlemen, look no further than DeMar Hamlin, a man who literally laid his life on the line for his brothers, for his teammates, for the love of the game. And it almost cost him that very life that he sacrifices every single day. And to have the mental fortitude, the resolve, the courage, the strength, all the other attributes or adjectives you can throw in here, to have all of those to even just step back on a football field, let alone become the starting safety, let alone be making plays, making interceptions on Monday Night Football. Like, this story is unheard of. This is a story that we will talk about long after DeMar is done playing football, just because, again, the magnitude of what happened and the way that it brought an entire base of people who love sports, who love each other, who love humans, the way it brought everybody together, the way it brought everybody to pray for one individual, to wish well for one single person. Like, then to see him make it through, and not just on the field, see all the things that he's doing with his foundation, see the way that he's impacting all of these universities across the country. Like, I've seen him doing all types of things as far as getting defibrillators and getting, forgive me, I don't know exactly what they're called, AEDs?
Yes,
AEDs. Called? Yeah, AEDs, getting those, making those more accessible to teams and making them more resourceful to people. Seeing him do that kind of work while working his way back on the field to be able to make plays as a starting safety for the Buffalo Bills, one of the best defenses year in and year out, Monday Night Football. Like, it's special, man. It is special. And granted, this isn't necessarily what sports is all about, but man, when people turn on the TV and when they watch these kids, like, this is what people are giving. Like, these are what the athletes are giving. This is what makes us special as athletes, because regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what people may go through, the love of the game, the love of the brotherhood in that locker room, the love of performing in front of fans allows people to do things that are superhuman. And DeMar Hamlin is absolutely a superhuman.
Last thing I'll ask you, Tua Tagovailoa, he's going through right now, do you think he'll continue to play and will eventually make his return to an NFL field?
I hope not. And this is not Damian Harris, the analyst. This is not Damian Harris on a podcast. This is Damian Harris, the guy that played and shared a locker room with Tua, that knows his family very well, that knows what's in his heart, what's in his family's hearts, how they surround one another, how they support one another. I hope that he shuts it down, because as somebody who is, you know, a new husband, a new father, I've got a 6-month-old son, and, you know, obviously I had a career-ending injury, and I see what that did to my family. I see, you know, I remember how that affected my wife. I remember how that affected, you know, the people who cared about me, and I would not wish that on anybody else's family. And I know that they're already dealing with it to a degree, because we have seen what has happened to Tua, unfortunately, in the past few years. So just as a brother, as a man who understands how important family is, and, you know, the people who love you and care about you, you have a real opportunity to preserve yourself, preserve your family, preserve, you know, you can let your wife lay her head down at night and be confident that you are doing everything to preserve yourself for your kids, for your family, for the rest of your life, for yourself. So I just, again, this is as a brother, this has nothing to do with analytics. This has nothing to do with interest in the NFL or the Miami Dolphins. But as a brother, as somebody who shared that locker room with Tua, as somebody who has shared the field with countless other brothers that play in this league, sometimes it's just time to let it go. And that time comes for all of us. Sometimes it's unexpected, but there are certain things in this life that you just cannot ignore. And I think that the situation that's going on with Tua is something that it can't be ignored any longer.
He is Damian Harris. Damian, really appreciate all the time today and also your energy. Love the hat as well. And keep on kicking ass. You're going to be a superstar at CBS Sports HQ.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. The tide always rolls. Remember that, people. Get your roll on.
We love it. There he is, Damian Harris. He was sensational, man. Right off the gridiron, he was absolutely phenomenal. So stellar job by Damian Harris. We'll have him on again, I'm sure. Coming up down the road.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.